it's on. Well, good morning and welcome. As I always say, it is such a blessing to be back in Custer, South Dakota, and to be at Mountain View. And I am just thrilled with the opportunity. Now, before I say anything else, I'm going to make this very clear. The answer is no. Because you're all sitting there going, is your wife here? I said the answer is no. But I will tell you she really wanted to be and really would love to have been. But again, issues with her health have limited that. You are aware of that. You've been praying for us and specifically for her. I guess the best way to put it is she is making slow progress. But it's going to be a very lengthy recovery for her from the multiple surgeries she's had. Actually, Lord willing, in the month of August, the doctor has given us permission to fly back out to Wyoming to visit our kids. We've not seen them for 3 years. We have a grandson, a year and a half old, that we had never seen. Now, I saw them last weekend, but I'll go home here and then we'll fly back out. And it's really good the doctor approved that because we had bought the tickets the week before he said so. So, you know, there are just certain things that grandparents have to do. That's just the way it is. I just made up my mind. We're going. And thankfully, he agreed with me. So if you think about it, pray for us in that way because that'll be a big, big step for her. Probably the first time in several years that she's been able to travel anywhere, let alone across the country. But nonetheless, I'm sure excited that God gave me the opportunity to be here today. And I did want to take just a moment or two before we get into the lesson today to just say thank you again to you folks here at Mountain View. First of all, for your prayers. That is significant, and I know you pray because folks have told me that already since I got here. And that's a wonderful blessing. Thank you as well for your financial support on a monthly basis. And thank you for the special gifts that you have given over the last several years to help our work in India. India is a country that has suffered greatly in the last year and a half. COVID, of course, swept across that country here recently, just devastated it. If you paid any attention to what was going on through news outlets, it was just one of the most heartbreaking things, maybe one of the worst humanitarian crises, maybe in the history of our world, what went on in that country. Thankfully, COVID is declining, but the effects economically and so on have just been devastating to that country. Thank the Lord. In the midst of it, our ministry through the Indian Council of Missions and through the Bible College and through the churches that we have planted, those ministries are thriving right now. And a big part of that is the fact that God has just laid it on the hearts of people to contribute. Since the beginning of May, and you will, if you pick up a newsletter today, you'll see a figure, but actually that is a number of weeks old. Since the beginning of May, the Lord has provided just shy of $60,000 in donations. And I have not presented the work one time personally. It's just not happened. That's just the result of God prompting people through emails and mailings and so on. But that has enabled us to feed thousands. It has enabled us to provide medicine to villages. It's taken care of our college needs. It's even allowed us to do some very special things. A number of weeks back, we were able to buy one of those big industrial generators that will truly run the entire campus with electricity. And we've been having terrible time with electricity, sometimes no power for as long as 3 days at a time. And what that means is no water. It means that during the hot season, the students can't even run a fan in their dorm room. And so thankfully, we now have the capability to run the entire campus. which is just marvelous. I just think that's incredible that God provided. And so thank the Lord. I would hope and pray today you'll stop out at the little table, get one of these cards, all right? It's just a little prayer card to remind you to keep praying for the college. But God is definitely working. There has been much suffering. One of our students has been very ill with COVID. We lost one of our pastors. Just in the state of Tamil Nadu, where the college is, 120 pastors died during COVID. What an impact that had on their churches and on their families. So it gives you just a little idea of how important our ministry is and what we are able to do. That being said, today, before you leave, I hope you'll stop at the little table out here in the foyer. This is what we're doing this year. Instead of just a typical newsletter, we've kind of created a little information and inspiration packet. And there's little bundles out there, and I hope you'll stop and get one. There are some things that will be very informative to you, a real help to you spiritually. And so please, pick it up, grab one. There's some other things there that you will be interested in. One last thing I want to mention to you, and I asked the pastor about this. This is brand new to our ministry, but this year we have made available for the first time a new publication called Daily Lessons from the School of Prayer. It took me 3 complete trips through the Word of God to do this, but I have gone through the Word of God and identified every passage of Scripture that in some way relates to the subject of prayer. And then went back and out of that prepared 366 biblical lessons on prayer, one for every day of the year. And it's laid out to take you to Scripture. There's a key scriptural thought, there's the lesson, and then there's the point of emphasis for every day. And it will keep you for an entire year focused on the subject of prayer from the Word of God. And it's not the kind of thing that will take a lot of time, but it will daily point you right to the Scripture and emphasize the subject of prayer. So I do have a supply of these. I shipped a box out with some. They're out on the table. They're $15. If you will see me sometime today, as long as they're there, they'll be available. There's a limited supply on the table. If we run out, there's another limited supply under the table. So we'll do our best and try and make those available to you today. All right, well, that's it for the commercials, but I wanted to just take a moment, kind of update you a little bit on things family and ministry-wise. And again, it's always a blessing to be here, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity today. Well, I'm going to invite you this morning to take your Bible and open it with me, if you will, please, to the Old Testament book of Daniel. I am this year personally doing a Bible survey study. I take one book of the Bible per week, and I just intensely study it. I type out all my notes. To be very honest with you, it has been one of the most blessed studies of the Word of God I have ever done. I will tell you, it has been a bit overwhelming. Simply because, as my grandfather told my dad one time, this book is inexhaustible. And I'm not trying to rewrite all the commentaries and all of the study guide. That's not my purpose at all. I'm just simply trying to get a better understanding of the book, the Bible, as an entire book. Well, it just so happens that this past week I've been in the book of Daniel. I've made it that far this year. I love the book of Daniel. I always have. But I think I love it more now. And I've decided this morning to share with you in Sunday school the first really of 3 messages today from the book of Daniel. I want to speak to you today on the prayer life of Daniel. Folks, think with me for a minute. Who is the greatest man of prayer in all the Word of God. Well, I think that's a given. The Lord Jesus Christ, nobody ever prayed quite like He prayed. If you want to learn to pray well, pattern your prayer life after the prayer life of Jesus. I don't doubt for a moment that probably not far behind we would point quickly to the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was a great missionary. Yes, he was a great preacher. Yes, he was a great church planner. Yes, he was an author of much of Scripture. But it all hinged upon his prayer life. All right. But that's New Testament. So go to the Old Testament. Well, I got to be honest with you. That one was tough too. I mean, how do you discount the prayer life of a man like Abraham or Moses or Samuel or even some of the prophets? But as I came to the book of Daniel, I was amazed to find that in a unique way, the book of Daniel, though it's very well known because of the tough tests that men of God endure, though it's well known because of some of the prophetic teaching that is contained in it, men and women, there is a sense in which the book of Daniel, just 12 short chapters, is almost like an Old Testament textbook on prayer. And I'm not going to take the time this morning to work through the entire book, but I was amazed as I was going through the book to find how many different references to prayer there are. What I want to do today, however, is take you to three significant prayers of Daniel. And so for that reason, in Sunday school, I'm going to speak to you from Daniel chapter 2. In the morning service, I'm going to speak to you from Daniel chapter 9. And in the evening service, I'm going to go back and speak in Daniel chapter 6. And my hope and prayer today is that God will simply challenge each one of us in this matter of prayer to take it to the next level. Folks, I haven't arrived. I haven't become a master of prayer. I'm always learning. And I hope and pray that today the Word of God will be our textbook as we learn together. Let's just ask the Lord to teach us, and then we'll jump into this study today. Father, I just love the Word of God, and I really do love the book of Daniel. What a marvelous book. What an incredible man. And yet, what valuable truth we have. Today, as we look at the chapter in front of us, may we learn together the value of the prayer for wisdom. Help me now as I speak. Lord, I just want to guide your people into your word. May we be encouraged today, I pray. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Daniel chapter 2, three things I kind of want to lay out as we begin. Number one, we're going to see a substantial problem. Let's take a look. Verse number 1, Daniel chapter 2, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. I've been there, and I've done that, and it happened about 5 hours ago, if you know what I'm saying. I got awake very early this morning, kind of startled awake. It was almost like stepping out of this imaginary world called what? A dream. And for a little bit, I was kind of trying to get my wits about me. You know what's interesting? Honest, I don't have a clue at this moment what it was about. I really don't. And I even knew that I was going to speak from this passage this morning, so I'm thinking, all right, I got to remember this. Forgot it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Folks, listen, don't let me get spooky on you here. I can't imagine how our subconscious mind has the ability to dig deep into our mental file and put these things. I don't get it, but it happens. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He dreams a dream. It troubles him. It kept him from going back to sleep. But here's what's interesting. He calls together his, we might say, wise guys, according to verse 2. He said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Verse 4, then the Chaldeans said to him, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Verse 5, the king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. Oh yes, fellas, and by the way, tell me what the dream was, or you're finished. Now, I'm just kind of summarizing what happened, but would you agree with me that at this moment, we have a big problem? The king has had a dream. He wants to know what it was. He's telling his wise men, you better come up with it, or I'm going to kill you. Number two, a significant perplexity. Look how this passage begins to unfold. Drop down to verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. And you and I would all know that that is 100% true. They're perplexed. They don't know what it is. Verse 11, it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. By the way, do you know what I find very interesting right here? This is what we would refer to as a very ungodly, anti-God culture. This is basically a heathenistic type of a nation that is very antagonistic to God, maybe even to the point of being atheistic. But isn't it amazing that even in that moment, these wise guys of Babylon basically say, this is something no human being is going to know. It's going to require some kind of a God who's not a God of flesh. I find that interesting. Because the simple point is, they knew it was way beyond them to ever try to handle this thing. Well, third thing, real quickly, a serious predicament. By the way, do you know what a predicament is? A predicament is a situation you've gotten into but can't get out of. All right? Verse number 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Predicament. Big predicament. Predicament with a capital P and an exclamation point. This one is tough. Simply put, these men, including Daniel, had reached a point in life where they didn't know what to do. Now let's call a timeout, okay? Just put it in neutral for a moment. Pull it over and park here, right where we are. Men and women, have you ever had one of those moments? Of course you have. In fact, it may seem at times like there are more of them now than they've ever been. I'll be very honest with you. I've had several of those in the last week. Situations that affected my family, situations that affected my ministry, situations that affected people I knew, those we don't know what to do moments that are very much a part of life. I'd ask the question, but I don't even know what the question is. I'd ask for a solution, but I don't even know if there is a solution. You know what I'm talking about. There are those moments in life, those situations and circumstances where life comes at you hard. Oh, it may not be as extreme as life and death as it was for Daniel at this moment, but nonetheless, it's a big time predicament. Well, I think we can identify, I think we can relate very well at this moment to Daniel. So, what do you do when you have a I don't know what to do moment in life? As we begin to read, starting at verse 14, I believe we have a plan of action, steps we can follow, and I want to show them to you. The first step is this: take time to wait upon God. Notice what verse 14 says. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. By the way, key words right there. To Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. This is the king's executioner, okay? Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king, not the executioner, the king, that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Have you ever had one of those moments in life where things had kind of gone bad and somebody just blurts out, don't just stand there, do something? My wife claims that her dad used to even say, even if it's the wrong thing, at least do something. You know, it kind of bugs us, doesn't it, when people just purposely are inactive when there's something going on. That's tough. But can I tell you, godly men and women of God, at least for a time, are not afraid to take the approach that says, don't just do something, stand there. And by the way, that's biblical. Psalm 27:14 just pops into my mind. There are plenty of others. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May I remind you that God's timetable is not dictated by your timetable. God doesn't function by looking at his watch, checking the clock, or flipping the next page on the calendar. That's just not how God does it. Being an eternal being as he is, time does not pressure him. There's something significant about taking time. In fact, I wonder how many a hasty decision has been made because we became impulsive that later we regretted. Daniel's approach is, can you just give us some time? He asks the question of the king's representative, and then he goes to the king himself and asks, can we just take our time? Notice the second thing. Verse 17, Daniel recruited others to pray with him. This is neat. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Let me just throw in a little information here, all right? These three young men in this verse are addressed with their Jewish names that they had been given before they came to Babylon. Of course, they were changed by Nebuchadnezzar to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're Babylonian names, and we know that all three of the names given to them were names that related to Babylonian gods, where their Jewish names had been names that related to their Hebrew god. Once again, another attempt to disconnect them from their God. So that's who we're talking about. Daniel went to his house and let them know what was going on and asked them to join him. Again, let me make just a simple little point here, but it's important. Folks, we need God. You know that. I know that. But can I also say, we need each other? We really do. There's something significant about brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to join together, as it were, spiritually lock arms, as it were, that together they might then turn to the Lord. Very, very important. It's dangerous to fly solo when you're dealing with an I don't know what to do moment. Yes, we need God. But Daniel understood the value of bringing in these three brothers, as it were. Third step is this: let your request be made known unto God. Verse 18, he makes the thing known to his companions, verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now let me just suggest that very likely, as these four men gathered to pray, there was nothing casual about it. Oh, may God deliver us from casual praying. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about those times when, yes, we are verbalizing our prayer, but that's really about all we're doing, because there's nothing from the heart. There's nothing really going on in the mind. And yet, Daniel and these three brethren, they didn't have time to be casual. Something tells me there was an incredible sense of urgency. There was an intensity level in their praying that was electric. Why? Because the simple truth is, Daniel and a whole bunch of other men are going to lose their lives very shortly if they don't get an answer from God. And so, they let their request be made known with great detail, being very specific. God, we need to know the secret. In Scripture, and particularly in the book of Daniel, where this word secret appears multiple times, it basically refers to something that God knows but men don't know yet. It's a mystery, as it were, something that God is going to reveal. They're asking that God will reveal the secret and that Daniel's life would be spared. Well, we move on. And verse 19 says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Which leads us to the next step. praise God when the answer comes. This is just my observation, but I think it's a good one. I think it's a shame that in our so-called meetings of prayer, our prayer events, our prayer gatherings, whatever the case may be, maybe even our own personal prayer lives, we often fail to thank God for what He does after we've asked Him to do it. Why is it we come to a prayer meeting and spend so much of our time asking and forgetting to thank Him for what He's done in answer to prayer? You know, in all honesty, men and women, I think an answer to prayer may be one of the greatest ways God makes Himself known to us. Doesn't matter whether it's a little child praying for the puppy's paw that got stepped on, or a ministry praying that God will provide thousands of dollars to cover a need. Doesn't matter. We need to say, thank you, Lord, because you just put yourself on display. You just let us know you are real. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. Daniel is overwhelmed with gratitude. Folks, I can tell you that on days when there's a really good answer to prayer, God just seems a whole lot more real. I'm more God conscious on those times. It really works that way. But then the fifth thing that I think is great, give all the glory to God. And Daniel certainly did that. We drop down to verse 24. Daniel is now going to go to the king. He not only knows what the dream is, he knows what the interpretation of the dream is. We're not going to take the time to go through the details except to say in verse 28 that before the king he said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy bed, upon thy bed, are these. And then he goes ahead and explains the dream, which had much to do with the future. How would you explain that? Here's how I'd explain it. Daniel did a great job of making God look really good. That's what it means to glorify God. That's what it means to put God on display. Daniel did not miss this opportunity to let it be known God did this. I was preaching in a church in Alabama one time. I had an old guy in this church who was like some other old guys I've met in some other churches, who always had to have a word for me after I preached. He'd tell me something I should have said, or something I said but shouldn't have, or he'd have something that he knew that I didn't. I mean, it just never failed. He always had to get his word in when I was done. And so one evening I had preached on the subject of prayer. The invitation was done. The service closed. I start down the aisle. I look up, and guess who? He came walking up to me and he said, I want to tell you something. I thought, really? Imagine that. He said, I learned a long time ago that prayer can do anything God can do. And God can do anything. He just turned and walked away, and I just stood there and I thought, now that's good. That's good. Prayer can do anything God can do, and God can do anything. What is prayer? Prayer is the means by which we connect with the God who can do what we can't do ourselves. Which leads me to say, if you have one of those moments when you don't know what to do, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth wisdom to all, and it shall be given. You know, I guess one of the things that amazes me about James 1:5 is that it's actually a promise. Yes, it is a principle of prayer. I get it. But it's a promise. What is a promise? It's a guarantee about God. And God says, if you ask, I will give. You have the need for wisdom. You have the request for wisdom, the source of wisdom, and the provision of wisdom. And men and women, I want to tell you today, that promise is available to every one of us every day this week. And that's good to know, because guess what? No, I am not a prophet of doom. That's not my purpose. But I have a pretty good idea. There are some of us in this room that before the next week is over are going to have one of those moments in life where we don't know what to do. And we're going to have to go to God and say, God, I don't know. The need is too great. The problem is too complex. The fear is too overwhelming. People, circumstances, I don't know. I need your wisdom. And you know what? In the moment of that simple prayer, we have a promise from God found in His Word that says, it shall be given. What do we learn from Daniel? We learn that Daniel was a wise man. But isn't it interesting that wisdom is one of those things that you don't just get from reading a book or attending a seminar or going to a class or getting certified or taking... No, wisdom is one of those things that is given directly from God. And I'm so glad that in the upcoming week, in the rest of this year, for that matter, the rest of my life, I have at my disposal all of the wisdom of God. I just need to ask. Heavenly Father, I pray that in each one of our lives, we'll never be so self-sufficient that we're hesitant about asking for wisdom. Lord, it wasn't just a case of a forgotten dream or an interpretation to a dream that Daniel was focused on. It was glorifying God even in an anti-God culture like Babylon. But it was the answer to prayer for wisdom that you used to bring that about. Thank you. May we likewise learn to do the same even in the week ahead. May each of us as men and women of God be wise and pray the prayer for wisdom when necessary. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to more of Dan.